Hey, y'all, check it out. The audiobook has finally been released. Just go to foolserrand.us. That's the shortcut. It'll take you over to the Amazon page. And very soon, actually, I got a brand new website going up at scotthorton.org. And so soon you'll be able to buy that audiobook directly from me. But for now, you can still get it at Audible and at amazon.com. The audiobook of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And yes, it's read by me. And I'm sorry it took so long. I nitpicked the hell out of it. Trying to get it ready for you guys, and then plus it took them forever after I submitted it to finally release it. But anyway, there you go, foolserrand.us, amazon.com, just search for my name, Scott Horton, Fool's Errand, and the audiobook is up there for you. Also, of course, available in paperback and Kindle if you want the 1150 footnotes.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
It's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
But we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing Chris Smiley. He is an associate member of Veterans for Peace, and he co-hosts the Peace Report, produces the Peace Report, and also does work with If Americans Knew. And they've got this new documentary out, features our friend Ray McGovern and Matthew Ho both in here. It's called U.S. Veterans Witness Brutal Reality for Ahed Tamimi and Palestinians. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, you know what? I'm really happy that you decided to make some time to talk with us today and that you did the work to produce this thing. It's just about 40 minutes, y'all. You put it away, no problem. And it's Ray McGovern and Matthew Ho and their adventures on the West Bank, basically bearing witness to Israeli brutality against these people. So go ahead and tell us time and place as I said, it's in the title there. This is the Tamimi family is featured heavily in this. So this is Naji Sabra. How do you say it?
Nabi Saleh is the village where the Tamimis live. Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Well, so Veterans for Peace put a delegation together last year to go over to Palestine, Israel, to experience firsthand what's going on there and to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian activists. This particular, it's kind of like a documentary series we're doing, but this one is a real substantial film on Nabi Saleh, and you can catch that on the Peace Report, YouTube, Facebook, but there's also a lot of other short clips and things that you'll find very interesting that we'll be coming out with too, if you can't sit for 30 minutes right now. But, you know, what we captured there, I mean, is really, really shocking, and I mean, you know, you can read about Palestine, you can watch films, but man, when you really get there and see and experience what these people have to live through on a daily basis, it's really, really mind-blowing. So this particular film gives you a real inside experience of what Ahed Tamimi and the Tamimi family goes through in that village, Nabi Saleh. We went down to a creek bed. So let me give you real quickly. So Nabi Saleh is right next to an Israeli settlement. So there's kind of like a road that divides the settlement of Halamish and the village of Nabi Saleh. And right in between the settlement and this Palestinian village is just a little creek. But that's kind of turned into the critical point of contention because it's right there in the middle of these two areas. And the Israelis the settlement of Halamish and the Israelis have kind of taken that over and disallowed the Palestinian people to go there. So we literally just went down there to just check it out and do a little demonstration, hold up some signs. I mean, it's a really you know, low-key area, abandoned. Nobody's even hanging out there. And we go down there to see what will happen, because what happens is just showing up there, the settlers are so threatened by the Palestinians protesting or by them trying to stake claim to any area that immediately they showed up and started violently attacking us.
Yeah, well, as seen in the footage, for sure. So now, I mean, I guess I should have started with just a little bit about this village and what's the name of the settlement? Halamish, you say?
Halamish is the Israeli settlement and Nabi Saleh is the Palestinian village.
And now, and so I know that the settlement's been there for a while, but it was just how long ago that they took control of the well and that was the last straw kind
of
thing, right?
That came about like in the last 10 years. The settlement's been there since, I think, the 70s. But you
know, that's what really started this thing where every Friday they go out and protest, right?
Yeah. So once that was kind of one of the last straws where, you know, that's where they go now to hold their protests. And that's what, things like that really put into motion this really serious coordinated campaign of nonviolent resistance, which is led by the Tamimi family. And that's why, you know, you hear about Ahed Tamimi and Bassem Tamimi. These folks are leading that movement in Nabi Saleh and the rest of the West Bank. Mm-hmm.
Well, and listen, so let's stop for a second and talk about her case. This isn't exactly what the movie's about. She's in it a little bit, but right now she's in jail awaiting. Well, and jail is a euphemism for her situation. Can you explain, please?
Well, so what happened with her is Israeli soldiers were hanging out in her home, and this was just an hour prior to the incident which got her arrested. Israeli soldiers had shot her cousin Mohammed Tamimi, a boy, about 15-year-old boy, shot him in the face with a rubber-coated steel bullet. And so an hour later, Israeli soldiers are on her home, and she goes over there and wants them to leave, and she ends up kicking them and slapping them to get them off her property. It was caught on film, and the soldiers came back later in the night to arrest her, and that's what she's in jail for, on charges of assaulting an Israeli soldier. And I mean, the debate about this is just, it's really absurd. I mean, for people to, you know, to not understand that this is an occupation happening, and for them not to understand that, you know, you can't. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you really going to get upset at this girl for slapping a soldier that just shot her cousin in the face and is facilitating a brutal occupation and colonial takeover of her land? I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, and you know, this is really beside the point. It's only a minor detail if you zoom all the way in. I guess it's still worth mentioning that the soldier actually laid his hands on her first, or her hands, and slapped her in the face first. I guess it was the male soldier slapped her in the face first. And so that's kind of beside the point, because as you're saying, they're soldiers and they're on her front lawn.
Yeah.
And so there's no question there whether she has the right, whether it's her self-defense or not. And then what I thought was interesting about this story was that when it first came out, the soldiers at the time were like, okay, well, a 16-year-old girl hit me in the face and it didn't really hurt or even move my jaw very far or anything. So I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, okay, young lady, and not shoot her in the head. So thank goodness for that. But then the footage got on TV in Israel, and there was this ridiculous, this insane outcry that rather than this footage showing what tough and brave and moral soldiers the IDF are, that we're always told that look at the heroic restraint of this man, that instead they said, oh no, Israel is being emasculated and beaten down by a woman and by a little girl, and it's not right. We got to do something. And this is like government ministers and in the opinion pages and stuff. Is that, you know, this is the worst thing that ever happened, that she's allowed to get away with this. We must make an example out of her. And so then they came and got her, like you say, in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, like monsters out of the NKVD stories from the Soviet Union. Come and get her in the middle of the night, this 16-year-old girl, and cart her off, soldiers, and cart her off to a military prison for an open-hand slap on her own front lawn. People want to say this is debatable only just to muddy the issue at all, when the truth is not somewhere in between whatsoever. The right is 100% hers to resist, full stop. And that's even the law. That's not... It's amazing. Yet. It's remarkable to me when the obvious spin that look at what heroic tough guys we are, that we'll take a slap and not hit back and turn the other cheek kind of thing, is just as good, much better PR for them, you know, really, but no.
Well, Scott, I mean, you really hit on it that, you know, in Israel, I mean, and especially here in America, there is a real manipulative, coordinated campaign to control and distort the information and the truth. And I mean, I've never really seen anything like this before. What was telling, so when we went down to Nabi Saleh, I mean, this is just so telling of the situation. When we went down there, one of the first things that happened is the Israeli settlers, tried to attack the photographers. They tried to cover the cameras. And I mean, why would you do that? You know, what is that telling you? What's that telling you is that they're trying to hide something, that there's doing something wrong, and they know this, and they don't want people to see it. And you know what's real interesting? One of the folks that was attacking photographers and covering cameras was an Israeli Red Cross medic. Even their own medics show up there, and this guy, by the way, was strapped up with an assault rifle. Why does a medic have an assault rifle? He's there with an assault rifle. He's covering cameras. He's shoving women and children around. I mean, it's really crazy what's going on, and this attack on hiding the truth is so widespread and coordinated. And Scott, I don't know if you noticed this, but if you ever post anything about Israel, I mean, as well as many, you know, contentious issues, that immediately the bots and the trolls and the fake profiles start coming out, right? And As soon as we posted this film and any other film about Israel, immediately the bots start coming out. And you know what I find very interesting, Scott, is that you don't see bots, anarchist bots. You don't see civil rights bots. It's only bots to support oppression. Because what's the logic behind that, Scott? That okay, either one, you really believe these ideas and you're too ashamed to put your face behind these ideas, or two, you have to pay somebody else to do this, you know, this work of trying to cover up the truth. So I think that's really telling.
All right, y'all, real quick, here's how to support this show. First of all, buy my book, Fool's Errand. It's at foolserrand.us, and the audio book is now available as well. Sign up for the show feeds, iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS, this, that, and everything. It's all at scotthorton.org. And also, you can subscribe at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show, the full archive, 4,600 interviews, all available for you on YouTube as well now. And then check out scotthorton.org/donate. For $20, you'll be able to get the audiobook here very soon from there. Also, $50 if you want a signed copy of the book, Fool's Errand, the paperback. $100, you get a QR code silver commodity disc. And anyone who donates $200 or more gets a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. Take PayPal, one-off and monthly donations. Take all different kinds of Bitcoin and digital currencies, especially Zencash. That's zensystem.io. But anyway, all those addresses are there at scotthorton.org/donate. And of course, there's patreon.com. There was a problem with it, but the problem's fixed now. Patreon.com/Scott Horton Show if you want to donate per interview. That's how to do that. And anybody who donates a dollar more on Patreon or signs up for a dollar more per interview will get 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. And that could include my book now, too. So there you go. Find out all about all that stuff at scotthorton.org/donate. Thanks, guys. Well, and the Hasbara trolls, if you deal with any actual human Hasbara trolls, their argument always goes from, you know, well, the Palestinians are the aggressors and this and that. And then when you turn those tables on them, they invariably resort to, well, why can't they all just move somewhere else and go and live in Iraq or Saudi Arabia or something and let us have their land? which is not much of an argument, really, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the main arguments I always hear from the Hasbara trolls and just from people in general that just don't really understand the issue is that, well, you know, there's two sides to the story. You know, there's this and there's that. There's no two sides. There's no two sides to an occupation. There's no two sides. You know what I mean? Like, there's no two sides.
In fact, they turn it upside down. They always make it sound like the Palestinians are the ones who are occupying Israel and, you know, are forever threatening poor Israel with terrorism if they don't give up some of their land. When, in fact, it's the Palestinians' land that they're trying to finish consolidating and taking away. You know what? This is the thing about it. It's part of what motivates me is not just that it personally angers me that the whole thing is framed dishonestly all the time, but it also, to me, indicates that we got to really be able to change people's minds pretty easy when we just explain that, yeah, no, actually, it's not like that at all. Here's how it is. And I think Americans mostly, unless they're, you know, literally go to John Hagee's church down in San Antonio, would just see right through this stuff if they only have it explained to them fair and square one time. You know, that's all it took for me.
But, you know, like we were touching on, there's a real coordinated and widespread information campaign. I mean, that's the world we live in. I mean, I think it's been that way for a long time in human history, that the way you control people is through information. And that's why things like your show are so important. And that's why I got into filmmaking, because getting the truth out there and letting people understand what's really going on is so important. Because if not, then certain people are going to try to manipulate information and going to try to control people through information. So it's really important that, yeah, we get these ideas out there and that they're not just completely bombarded with these, you know, BS ideas of, oh, there's two sides, oh, the Palestinians are terrorists. Because it's a really simple situation. You've got a racist apartheid state of Israel that was crafted on a campaign of genocide that displaced a whole population of people. And now they're embarking on a colonial campaign to take more land. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's funny because this seems a lot of times in politics to be kind of a leftist or a left-wing issue. But for me, I'm a libertarian. And for libertarians, everything is property rights, self-ownership. Yeah. It's a pretty universal principle. It's hard to get around once you accept it. That, like, okay, well, do Palestinians have property rights? Yeah. Okay, so are they being violated? Unquestionably. Yeah. So.
Well, you know what? One of the absurd property rights arguments from the Jewish settlers is, well, you know, this is what God said we were destined to have. And they really believe that. These religious zealots in Israel really believe that this land was decreed to them by God, and that's what they're using to justify this ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as long as you mention that, you know, I'll go ahead and mention that this is part of the way they portray the argument too, is that, well, it's two sides that both believe that God gave the land to them, and that's what they're fighting about. When really, the Palestinians are just saying, no, we live here. This is our land. My grandma has the key and the deed, and we have property rights dating back to the Ottoman Empire and the British and whatever under their former systems of law, to whatever degree they had law. And that's where they're from, and that's it. And, and you know, I guess the Arabs conquered that area from whichever is Steen's back at time immemorial, but certainly hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And so it's only the Jewish-Israeli side that has to invoke religion as then the excuse to override what otherwise would be considered the simple property rights of the civilians who live there.
Right, right. And you know, what you'll see is a symbolism of the key all around Palestine. And what that key symbolizes is the refugees' right to return. The refugees were the, you know, the Palestinians that were living in what is now the state of Israel, when they were displaced and kicked out of their homes to create that state. And now they're all living in these refugee camps now for decades, waiting to go back to their homes. And you know, what's really, I mean, absurd is the Israeli law of return, what they call the Israeli law of return. And what that is that if you're Jewish and you live in Brooklyn, New York, and you've never even set foot in the state of Israel, you have a right to go live there. The Jews from around the world immigrate to Israel and have that right. Meanwhile, Palestinians that used to live there, that were kicked out and are now living in refugee camps in the West Bank and Syria and Lebanon, they can't go back to their homes. But some guy, some Jewish guy from Brooklyn, New York, has the right to go live there, and he doesn't. It's absurd.
Well, and then like you're saying, they won't even let them have the West Bank, right? They're still under permanent military occupation on the West Bank where they still live.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they're taking that piece by piece, you know, demolishing homes and towns one at a time. Yeah, and I mean, that's the goal. And we spoke to Miko Peled. Miko Peled is the son of an Israeli general. And, you know, he puts it really bluntly that, you know, the end game is to turn this all into Israel. It's a complete takeover of the land. And that's what the intention was in the 1967 war, was to complete the conquest of this land.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, in the Nakba, as horrible as it was, morality aside, but just in a descriptive sense, an 80-20 supermajority within Israeli borders is a sustainable project as far as that goes. If they wanted to go ahead and let the Palestinians have independence from there and have friendly relations with the rest of the countries in the region and that kind of thing. But in 67, they didn't force out all the civilians. They were stuck with them. They couldn't get away with that much. So they took control of the land, but the people are still there. And so there's millions of them, and like you said, including a bunch of refugees from the last big ethnic cleansing campaign. And so now, politically speaking, they can't force march all these people out. So instead, they just keep them in hell.
Yeah, yeah. It's really nuts. And when you go and you see and you meet these, and you know what was one thing that was really surprising me, Scott, is that, you know, we'll hear a lot about the one state, two state solution, is you'd be surprised how many Palestinians are down to live in one state. One state meaning that you incorporate the West Bank into Israel and everybody gets equal rights, and you just create this one new state where everybody lives and everybody has the same rights as a citizen. You wouldn't believe how many Palestinians they just want their freedom. They just want rights. They just want to be treated like a human being, and they don't even care about having their own country anymore. They're just so tired of the oppression and the beatings and everything.
All right, you guys, here's who supports this show. First of all, the great Mike Swanson. He wrote this incredible book called The War State, about the rise of the permanent military-industrial complex and the new right after World War II. It's a really important history. I think you'll really like it. It's The War State. It's on Amazon.com and thewarstate.com. And also, he gives great investment advice, if you have any money to invest, at WallStreetWindow.com. WallStreetWindow.com for all the financial news and the great advice from Mike Swanson. And when you follow his advice, I know he recommends that you keep at least some of your savings in metals. And what you'll want to do then is go to Roberts and Roberts Brokerage Inc. That's RRBI.co. RRBI.co. And platinum, palladium, gold, and silver, of course, as well. They take the slightest commission and provide great service. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there is no service fee at all. That's RRBI.co for all your precious metals. And then, of course, Zencash. It's a new digital currency, but it's also an encrypted messaging app and file transfer app. And you can learn all about it at zensystem.io. That's zensystem.io for Zencash. And then libertystickers.com. We've got a brand new website. In fact, just don't even go to the current website. Wait like 15 minutes and then go. We've got a brand new website going up there for libertystickers.com. It'll be up sometime next week. And I finally got Illustrator again, so we're going to be getting some new stickers up there. Lots of good anti-government propaganda for you there at libertystickers.com. And listen, if you want a new website, a 2018 model website, you got to keep up with the times for your business or whatever it is you're doing. What you do is go to expanddesigns.com/Scott and you'll save $500.
Man, and you know, I think people don't really realize, or more and more they are coming to realize, and this is what's driving the BDS movement and that kind of thing, that if you throw in the 20% of Israeli citizens who are Palestinians, that now you're talking basically about a 50-50 split between the Arab Christians and Muslims and Jews on the other side who are, you know, Middle Eastern Jews as well as Ashkenazi and whatever, but that's the way they separate it. And you're talking about a 50-50 split where only then a very small part of the Arab population has representation in the Knesset at all and virtually no power. And so I guess to the Israeli government, they figure they're getting away with it so far, so they just keep doing a slow motion Nakba, but it's not working, right? The Palestinian population keeps growing, and it seems like such an untenable situation the way it is. And I don't know, I guess, I mean, obviously the fear on the Israeli side would be that, you know, if you just let everybody have equal rights, yeah, right, then the Palestinians will seize power, and then they'll really let us have it, so we can't have that, right? They have to maintain their supremacy in this situation forever because they're terrified because of the position that they put the Palestinians in this whole time up to now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the Israeli end game really is. I mean, because, yeah, they can't give these people equal rights because they don't want to give up their power of having this Jewish domination in the area. And, you know, the two-state solution at this point, I mean, the West Bank is so chopped up with all the settlements everywhere that how are you going to give, you know, these people a separate country? So I don't know where this goes. I mean, are we just going to have, you know, hundreds and thousands of years of this apartheid occupation? I mean, I don't know. What is their thought? I mean, do they really think they can, completely ethnically cleanse the area? Because, I mean, these people have a lot of spirit and they're not going to leave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the big fear, right, is America gets in a war with China or something, and then the IDF just goes ahead and does another Nakba and clears out the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, which I hate to keep, you know, neglecting to mention the poor Gazans and all the situation, but the film takes place on the West Bank. And listen, so, in fact, I almost got to go, but I got a few minutes more, so I was wondering if you could tell me just about the people that you spent time with there, these Palestinian people that we know so little about here.
Yeah, well, man, I mean, you know, the Tamimi family has been called, well, they've even been called actors, where the Israeli government is just so afraid and scrambling to try to destroy their image. They've called them actors, that they're not even real. They're real people. We met them. And the Palestinian people we met in the West Bank were some of the most welcoming and kind and you know, man, I mean, what an experience we had. I mean, everywhere we went, we were just greeted like brothers. When they know that our government, they know we're Americans, and they know that our government is facilitating this brutality, but yet they treated us like brothers. They treated us like one of their own. I mean, just the kindest people, and their commitment to nonviolent resistance in the face of all of this horrific action is just, man, it's a real experience to see. So I encourage everyone to watch this film, to read up more about this issue, and to really get a feel for, you know, what the suffering of these people, the suffering these people have to endure. I mean, because it's just a real heartbreaking tragedy, and it's really up to us, Scott. I mean, you know, we've got to do our part. It's our government that's the key supporter of Israel. It's our government that allows this to happen. It's our government that's supporting Israel with all the military weapons to be able to sustain this brutal occupation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they did the Israel Lobby Conference again, IRMEP and Wormia, in Washington, D.C., and they had Gideon Levy from Haaretz, and he said that, you know, one, the Israeli political system is so far to the right right now that to expect any change from within Israel whatsoever is absolutely, you know, beside the point. It ain't going to happen. Just forget it. But then he said, if the Americans and, you know, particularly the European countries would really get serious and boycott Israel and force this issue, that they really could make the change. And of course, he said, if the American government stopped supporting them or said, you know, aid is conditional on ending the occupations and that kind of thing, then they would do it in a minute. And so the power really is up to the American people, if not the Israeli ones, to try to, you know, and if not the Palestinians, who are really leading this BDS movement. So,
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. I mean, the people are begging for our help. They're holding all these demonstrations, calling out to the international community for help because they need it. They need it.
Yep. All right. Listen, man, I'm sorry I have to go, but it's been great talking with you and I really appreciate your effort on this. And it seems insane that I don't know about this peace report that you guys have been doing here since apparently forever. That looks really awesome. I'm looking at it on YouTube. My God. But anyway, so this is the peace report on YouTube. That's the channel. This documentary is called U.S. Veterans Witness Brutal Reality for Ahed Tamimi and the Palestinians. And that's Chris Smiley. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for everything you're doing too. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, you guys. And so scotthorton.org, foolsaaron.us, that's for the book. The audiobook is done. You can get it. And antiwar.com, libertarianinstitute.org, and follow me on Twitter at Scott Horton Show. Thanks, guys. Hey, y'all. Next Saturday, I'm giving a speech to the Libertarian Party of New Jersey State Convention. And this is at the University Inn on the campus of Rutgers University in New Brunswick. And so I'm not exactly sure what time I go on, but it's in the afternoon of next Saturday, March the 24th, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, there at Rutgers University. So check it all out at njlp.org.